20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to this week's episode of Pack-A-Day. Or not this week's, this day's episode of Pack-A-Day. You have Gage and I today. Nick is busy doing stuff with his family, so you're stuck with us two. This is the first one we've done since the season's over, and it sucks. Like this, Gage and I were talking. This is the worst time because, one, the season's over. I'm still bitter about it because now we're watching playoffs and we should have been in it, even though we probably would have got stomped by the 49ers. But it's just not as fun to talk about the Packers when you don't actually get to watch them. But Gage and I are here to break down what we think the top five needs of the Packers are this offseason, what they need to get figured out, what they need to either change or add to going into next season. How you rank these might change, but I think everyone's going to agree on number one for this. And let's just dive right in so we don't keep everyone too long, because I have a feeling there might be some rants as we go along. So, Gage, the first one that we said before we started the show when we were making the list was they need to figure out the quarterback spot. Number one priority.
Yeah. Everybody that listens to this will have a different opinion on who the team needs to keep, whether it's Rodgers or Love, and that's fine. You're allowed to have that opinion. I don't really know what they should do at this point personally, and I'm going to keep my personal opinion out of it because that's not what I'm here for. But you can't go into next season with both of them on the roster. It's not fair to Jordan Love, especially because you're continuing to keep him on the sideline where he can't maximize his value, that as we've seen in the last month, players' careers can be cut short very, very fast. You have to give these guys the chance to maximize their opportunity to play. And I understand that Green Bay got lucky with Aaron Rodgers sitting for 3 years, and then he came in and has been a four-time MVP, and you won a Super Bowl with him, and you've been consistently good with him, and you've been consistently great even. That's not necessarily going to happen all the time. Jordan Love, we've seen flashes from him. I think that he can be good. I think Aaron Rodgers showed this year that there were times when he could be really good still as well. I don't know who you're going to pick. You can't go in with both of them, though. It doesn't make any sense because you will be paying, because Jordan Love's fifth-year option, which the deadline on that is May, I believe, he'll be $19 million. So if you keep him, and then you go in and you also keep Rodgers, you're going to be paying a ton of money to two dudes, and one of them's never playing. It's not like sometimes playing. It's never is on the field. Like, they're never on the field at the same time. This isn't a team that's got a mobile quarterback and then a non-mobile quarterback to where sometimes one might be out there. Literally, they will never be on the field at the same time. So you cannot keep both of them. I don't know what the decision is going to be. I don't know who's going to go where. We've heard things from Goot for the last couple of years saying, Jordan Love's really good. We believe in him as the future of the franchise. We think he can be the future of the franchise, yada, yada. But then at the same time, oh, well, we want to have Aaron Rodgers back. You can't have both. For any of you that have seen New Girl, you don't get more than one wife. You get one wife. That's how it works. You get one quarterback. You don't get two. You get one.
I'm rewatching that right now for like the 15th time.
Friend of mine, his wife is also watching it, and she was watching the episode with that scene today. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know who they're going to pick. I have my own personal belief, but I'm not going to talk about it because we'll have all offseason to talk about it. But you got to pick one.
Yeah. No, I'm 100% with you, because right now it just feels like we're half-assing two different plans of forcing open this window, which I think closed after the 2020 season. And we saw that especially – I guess we had that hope in 2021, but then the way we lost to the Niners was kind of like, okay, this team just isn't not there anymore. Then we get this season, clearly not there anymore. And it's like, we're still trying to force open this window that seems to be so evidently closed, as well trying to have Jordan Love for the future. And I feel like right now it's just come to a head. You have to pick a certain route, because either you're just going to keep handicapping your team. Either you need to fully commit to Rodgers and you need to start making some Rams-esque trades and not care about picks and bring in big names for just a 2-year run and figure out a rebuild after that, or you commit to the future and see what you have in Jordan Love and start testing out these young guys. But right now, yeah, it's two paths. We have to pick one. This forging our way down the middle thing, I think, definitely has to end, because it's just, I don't think there's any success in that plan. Rather than maybe having mediocre seasons like we had this year of just the ups and downs of, I don't know, start off decent, not the first game, but we have, what were we, like 3-1 at one point?
Yes.
And then obviously we have the 5-game losing streak back and forth and kind of hot. Lions absolutely just mauled us. I don't know. They have to figure it out. I'm not going to be like you, Gage. My personal preference is Jordan Love at this point. I love Rodgers. What he did for us was great. What I'd like to see is Jordan Love. If they don't and commit to Rodgers, obviously I'll root for him too, but trying to get value from him if you can in a trade, or if he retires, he's a Hall of Famer. Thanks for everything. You got us a Super Bowl. I'll love you forever. But
it sounds to me like you just said you hate Aaron Rodgers.
That's what people will take from it, for sure. Yeah. Because you can't love Rodgers and also want to look to the future, apparently, because that's not how Packers fandom works.
I was going to say that is a Packers tradition, just like everybody is going to hear it a couple months when draft stuff really heats up. Everyone's going to want every Wisconsin player because that's what they always want.
Oh my gosh. Maybe in a few years now that Wisconsin's just recruiting actually good players, but right now.
It doesn't matter. It does not matter. It doesn't matter if it's a good player or a bad player. They want every Wisconsin player. It's what they always do. It's why I always get bashed, because I don't just exclusively love Wisconsin players when it comes to the draft stuff. So,
and then they'll always comment right after that, like, TJ Watt, we could have had him. That's yep. That's their only rebuttal.
Absolutely. Could have had TJ Watt. Could have.
Hey, we had Kevin King, future Hall of Famer.
Underrated guy.
Yeah.
All right, let's get on to our next one here.
Yeah, so QB being fixed, I think, is the number one priority. These ones, I think, are going to vary depending on the person. One that you were pretty – and I'm in 100% agreeance with you on this, but a person that you feel needs to be back for sure, Keyshawn Nixon. They need to bring him back to the team, completely change the special teams. Do you think they bring him back?
That is it's a tough thing, because for one, I don't think that he's – I don't think another team is going to make a splash offer for him. I don't think enough, and other than like certain teams that are just loaded with talent and just need to like boost like their special teams for whatever reason, like a team like Philly or San Francisco or Kansas City, Buffalo, even just teams that already have an embarrassment of riches everywhere else and can afford to spend a little bit more on a returner. Maybe they do, but I don't think that. I think Nixon will like. I think he enjoyed being here. With them running back the staff, he'll have the familiarity around him. So that'll help. I think he'll want to be back. And like you said, he completely changed the game on special teams, to where not only did Green Bay have a competent returner, Green Bay had a first team all pro kick returner.
Yep.
That is, I don't know that that's ever happened in my lifetime. And if it did happen before I could remember, like I was a toddler.
Yeah.
Keyshawn Nixon, as we heard from Aaron Rodgers during the season, Aaron Rodgers had confidence in him returning. He said it was the first time that he ever had confidence in a guy bringing the ball out of the end zone.
Yeah.
And I did. I mean, we saw it. He regularly made plays during the Miami game. So that next week after the Miami game, I kept hearing Packer detractors on national podcasts say, yeah, Packers had like 360 yards of offense. It just didn't make any sense. And I'm like, it's because you didn't watch the game.
Yeah.
I'm like, they started inside Miami territory like 3 or 4 times off of returns. That's why they didn't have any, like, between returns and turnovers. That's why they didn't have a ton of yardage. They were already there.
Yeah.
So I think Nixon needs to be back. In addition to that, he's not like a shutdown guy, but he's a reasonable like depth guy in the cornerback room, because that's the other thing is you're not just, because a lot of the time when you have these depth guys for just returning, they're usually low end wide receiver guys.
Yeah.
Nixon did play some defensive snaps this year. And he just plays with a little bit of, he just plays with pop, plays with like just a little more fire than other guys do at times. And so I think that that's like between the depth that he brings in the cornerback room and the, just his overall ability in the return game, it makes a ton of sense to bring him back.
Yeah. And it goes to the thing I said with like the whole quarterback thing of like picking a plan and sticking with it. We committed to a plan last year, bringing in Bisaccia, to really focus and put actual investment into our special teams to change it to not be the worst every time they enter the season. This year we saw that. Nixon came in, and it, having a returner back there, like if I'm blocking and I have Amari Rodgers behind me and there's a 50% chance he's going to fumble the ball, I'm not that excited to block. If you have Nixon behind me, and I then I don't want to be the one mess it up and take away what could have been a touchdown for the special teams. Like having that returner completely changes the mentality of your returning, of your punt return, of your kick return, everything. So it wouldn't make sense to me for them to make the investment, bringing in Rich last season, and then all suddenly saying, hey, I know you have your guy, but we're not going to bring him back. Because like you said, it's not like it's going to cost them a crazy amount of money. It's he's a backup cornerback who's just an excellent returner. And maybe another team that just has a ridiculous amount of cap space that just wants to throw money just because they can. That's the one case where you can see that we might have a bidding battle or a bidding war, whatever you call it. But I think, yeah, he's definitely one that we need to bring back in. But I brought up Richie B, Coach Bisaccia, one of our coordinators. So let's switch over to one that we're not going to spend too much time on, this because I think everyone shares the same thoughts. It does not matter what happened towards the end of the season. We need to fire Joe Barry. In my opinion, at least, I know Gage, you had some things you said before the show. You were on the bandwagon of helping Joe Barry pack and telling him good luck on another job.
Yeah. I think that there's always a feeling out period. I get that. I get that it's going to take time. You're not going to hit the ground running. It's not going to be a day one where you're like, yep, I'm good to go. I get that it's going to take time, but here's where I have a bit of a problem with that. You were here last year.
Yo.
You had effectively the same room that you did. Your team's basically the same.
You got Jair back for the whole year.
You got Jair back for the entire year. You have Eric Stokes. Obviously, he eventually goes out with an injury. You have Douglas the whole year. Because remember, he wasn't there Balls last season. He joined, I think it was early October, if I remember right. So you have everybody minus Zadarius Smith. You have pretty much the exact same room that you had last year.
And investment in the draft, two first round defensive players.
And one never got on the field. I don't know what the deal is with Devontae Wyatt. I mean, I thought that he made splash plays when he was out there. Maybe it's practice stuff. Maybe I just didn't pay close enough attention. He wasn't actually that good when he was on the field. I don't know. All I know is he never got on the field. Quay Walker was I believe, first team all rookie, or he's projected to be like a all rookie linebacker. It could just be that there wasn't any other linebackers deserving, but I don't know. All I know is Green Bay had made the same mistakes all year long. They made the same mistakes that they were making last year. There's a belief there, like a tiger doesn't change its stripes. Barry made the same mistakes for a year and a half. And then finally, for whatever reason, when the team happened to start doing well, magically, he made changes. The cornerback room was playing more aggressive. They were playing on the line of scrimmage a lot more. When you had a number one wide receiver like a Justin Jefferson, you were paying extra attention to that guy. You were putting extra water in the middle of the field to make sure that just the other team slipped and your team didn't.
Yeah, that's the key one.
You started doing all of the stuff that you were supposed to be doing for the last year and a half, and you didn't. I believe that Joe Barry may be a nice guy. He may, like I saw him, I think it was in the Detroit game, got super excited, was jumping during the Minnesota game, was super excited, following an interception, was jumping on the sidelines, was getting the guys hyped up, whatever, great, awesome. But when you have players even call you out in the media, they didn't call him out by name, but they made it pretty clear that they had an issue with the way Barry called the defense. That tells me you don't have him.
Even Jerry Gray, when they asked him like why the corners aren't as aggressive, he right away was just like, that's a question for Barry. That's not my call. And so it's like right there, you have other people questioning like why you're making these decisions. And like you said, with all the talent that you have, you got them to invest in middle linebacker. Obviously, he was a linebacker's coach coming from the Rams over to the Packers. Everything was in place for this defense to be one of the better defenses in the league. And it's been harped on all season long. Expectations were definitely not met. They had splashes here and there, but even for a stretch, like they weren't forcing turnovers. We saw that come towards the end of the season, especially that Minnesota game, which I'm just going to pretend was our last game of the season. But he's just, I don't, like you said, Tigers don't change their stripes. Like it's, I feel like we're going to go into next year, try all the same stuff we tried this year. It's not going to work. You shouldn't have to have a defensive coordinator that players are consistently every year going to saying like, this needs to change. And one of the things that drove, I saw an article saying that one of the things that changed the cornerback room was a like a group chat that the cornerbacks had together, like saying different things that they saw and that they think would be helpful, or not having secrets anymore was a quote from it too. It's like, that shouldn't be a thing. Like it shouldn't take a group chat of your cornerbacks to start changing how this works. Like the coach's job is to put them in the best position, knowing the talent that you have on your team and utilizing it. Like it shouldn't take us having 2% chance to make the playoffs to all suddenly make these changes. Like that stuff should have happened a long time ago. So I don't know who they can bring in, who they would bring in. Maybe they can somehow start spreading false information about Todd Bowles, get him fired, bring him into the Packers, but just something to get someone in there with a proven track record of, and I said that on Twitter once, like I want someone with the track record in the NFL. And they're like, oh, that's what Joe Barry is. No, Joe Barry had a terrible track record as a defensive coordinator. We just still tried it. I want someone with the proven track record to come in and have hopefully change this defense up a little bit. But we'll
see. I specifically want a guy with a track record playing the type of defense that the team is, that the roster is built for. Because that's the other, that might be my main issue that I have here is you brought in a zone coverage guy to a team loaded with man coverage defenders.
Yep.
Like Jair can play zone and can play man. It's fine. Rasul Douglas, Eric Stokes, and I mean Jair all are excellent man coverage defenders. That's where they excel at, because I mean Rasul and Stokes are both big, long, physical corners. Like that's why Douglas is way better when he's playing on the line, because he gets to be physical, get in your face.
But also not moving him out of the slot earlier in the year also pissed me off. Like it should have taken two games to realize Zuul should be on the outside. And Jair, someone who can play multiple different positions, could also go into the slot corner. Or you have Savage, who was sucking at safety. You could have moved him there and Zuul back there because he did some practice there. Like there's just so many things they could have done and changed or tried and just wouldn't do it.
Yeah. I believe for all of his faults as a GM in the last couple of years, Bill Belichick has long had a philosophy that I still believe in and will forever believe in. Let guys do what they're good at. Don't make them do anything else. You can argue that can limit your team overall, because that's why the Patriots haven't won in a long time, because they don't try and get guys that can be versatile. No, they let guys do what they're good at and they're like, focus on that. We'll figure everything else out. Green Bay, what are your corners good at? Man coverage. What are we gonna run the most? We're not gonna run man coverage. What's the point? Why are you drafting man cover corners if you're not gonna run man coverage? What's the point anymore? So, I mean, Barry's gonna be back because we're not gonna change it. Like Matt LaFleur is not gonna listen to this episode of the Pack a Day podcast and just be like, oh yeah, no, we're good, run it.
Yeah, no,
that's not gonna happen. So we can sit here and talk all day.
Yeah, I was hoping he was just doing that normal coach speak when they were asking him, like, is Joe Barry going to be back next year? He's like, I don't expect any changes to the staff. I was hoping that was just kind of like what he had to say in the moment. But I also, I think if there was a chance of firing, he would have just said like, oh, we're still evaluating. Like, we didn't get that part. And so that's why I was kind of like, ah, shoot.
There's also one last thing that I'm kind of concerned about. Jerry Gray, as of this recording today, was requested to interview for Atlanta's DC job.
Yeah.
The only thing, like, so Green Bay's defense this year was like top 5, top 6 in pass DVOA, like on defense versus like 29th against the run.
Yeah.
So if you lose the guy that his job was passing game coordinating, like coordinator on defense, that is going to take a big hit. And a defense that is already shaky in my mind would be even shakier. But let's go ahead and get on to our fourth thing.
All right. So perfect segue. Defensive passing game coordinator, cornerback coach, Jerry Gray. One of his positions, obviously, is coaching. We have the safeties. That's one of the areas that I think that we need to address going into next season. The Packers need to figure that out in some way, shape, or form. We have Savage, who they already picked up their fifth year option. So he is on the team and he has guaranteed money. I don't see any other team trading for him because why would they trade for someone who's just benched? Amos is a free agent. Gage and I disagreed on if he was going to be back. I personally don't think so. Gage thought maybe there was a chance depending on the contract.
Could be back because I felt that the scheme overall was more to blame than I thought Amos was to blame. I still think he's one of the older guys under defense. He gives you a veteran in the secondary that is loaded with a ton of young guys. I still think that he's a quality guy. And if Savage isn't going to be a starting safety for you next year and you lose Amos, now you are down your two starting safeties from this year. And also Rudy Ford's a free agent this offseason. So now your three safeties who played the most are all gone in one offseason. And if I'm bringing them back, if like Amos had a down year, okay, I can bring him back on a cheaper deal and keep him around. And who knows, maybe he has a bounce back year. But so that was my thinking, was just he struggled, so he's likely going to be cheaper and wouldn't be impossible to bring back.
Yeah. But that's the thing, if it was more of a scheme problem and especially made him look like he wasn't as good as maybe he actually is, and they're not changing any of that and they're sticking to the status quo, like why would he want to come back? You know what I mean? Like if he's going to be kind of the scapegoat for a lot of this and they're not going to change it on their end, like if I'm him, I'd go somewhere else where I think I fit better. I can actually show my skill set a little bit more. I think they have to address this in the draft. I'm not a big draft guy. I cannot name you one safety in college football. Not my thing. I only really like the NFL. But I think they definitely need to address safety in the draft, bring in some people. And if we don't bring back Amos, I'm with you of like, we do need a veteran back there. If there is one that we can bring in off free agency or trade or whatever, but I think we definitely need a safety back there just to kind of have that continuity, someone to kind of lead the pack, especially you don't want Darnell Savage to be your veteran in your safety room, even if he ends up playing there, if they put him full time in a slot or whatever they do with him. But that's definitely a messy area that they're going to have to fix. And then we'll go ahead and jump into another one that we think not so much lack of talent there. A couple guys are leaving in this position group and we had some injuries this year, obviously, but a defensive line is an area they definitely need to address. We were talking before the show, obviously you have Kenny Clark, still one of the top defensive tackles. I know he missed, it seemed like he disappeared a little bit in the middle of the season, came on strong towards the end again. Jerron Reed is a free agent. Dean Lowry is a free agent. You still have TJ Slayton and Devontae Wyatt, who when they were on the field, they made some plays, but then for some reason aren't really getting on the field as much as you would like. I think that changes with Wyatt next year. We'll see with Slayton. And then you have Preston Smith on the outside, who, I don't know, he's solid. He's not incredible, but he's solid. Rashawn Gary, who knows when he's going to come back. And then besides that, it's kind of like an empty hole of, we have Kingsley, I'm not going to say his last name. Kingsley is all. Thank you. Kingsley E. He definitely showed some flashes, especially being a mid-round pick. He came in, he did really well. I don't know if you want him as your number two rusher, but if you give him another year behind when Rashawn comes back, if Preston's there, I know he can save a few million if he's released, but more so in 2024. But that's definitely an area that needs to be addressed. How do you think they're going to do it, Gage? Do you think it's more of draft? Do you think signing somebody? What do you think? A little bit of both?
You know, it's probably going to end up being a little bit of both because that's what Green Bay generally does. One of their issues is the fact that they just don't have a ton of money to spend.
Yep.
I will say this free agent class is not exactly great for edge rushers. There's a lot of just guys. There's not really any dudes available. Like you got Robert Quinn, Yannick Ngakoue, Jadeveon Clowney, Cleveland Farrell, Samson Ebukam. Those are your top guys. And that's in terms of like guys when money making, like it's not necessarily like how much, like that's not a ranking of the players. That's just the guys that made the most money.
Yeah.
But it's going to be really interesting to see what it does. Cause this, yeah, like this free agent class is not great. There's not a ton of proven talent of any kind out there. You might just have to, like, I think Preston comes back. I don't see him leaving.
They just need him. That's the thing, especially with just the need. Like, I know they save a few million in a tight cap space that they have, but just the lack of depth at that position already, like cutting who's going to be your number one guy going into week one just doesn't seem like a smart play.
Yeah, like if I look in the draft, is actually kind of deep, especially like at the top in terms of like edge prospects. Like in the for like the Draft Network's like big board, they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys, 7 guys in the top 33 that are edge players by like on their big board. Obviously, like the top few probably not going to be on the board when Green Bay goes on the clock, and safety will be important, especially depending on how they handle the Savage or the Amos and Reed Ford situations. But so there are some guys available to them.
Yeah. Hopefully, well, obviously they'll figure something out. It's Goody's job. He's done it every year. I think one of these positions, whether it's safety, D line, I know he said he wants to get a veteran wide receiver into the room for next year. I think in one of those three positions, you're going to see as much as they can spend in free agency. Cause as we said, it's not like they have a Chicago Bear type of money, but I think the other two, so let's say they spend money on wide receiver, I think safety and D line, they're going to just sign those random veterans that maybe haven't really clicked on a team and hope it turns into the next Devondre Campbell or Rasul Douglas for them. Someone that they just kind of makes that splash play or that step up in play. I don't think they'll be able to, they can't, it's not, I don't think they can't invest in all these positions. So draft is going to be extra important. Goody killed it this last year, in my opinion. So say what you want about the plans with Rodgers and Love and all that. He's gotten us players. So hopefully they can find another Devondre, another Rasul, because they're definitely going to need it next year with the limited cap space. And it's not like we have a bunch of draft picks. We just got the normal amount. So we'll see what happens. But
yeah,
it's going to be an interesting offseason.
I think wide receiver honestly might be a little easier to replace a guy in free agency because there's a ton of guys, which I mean, because you're unlikely to sign a dude. You're counting on Dubs and Watson to be your top guys.
Yep.
There are a ton of veteran wide receivers that are going to be available this offseason.
Yeah.
Like some people, I know the people listening will be like, oh, well, you bring back Cobb or Lazard. I don't think Lazard's coming back. I think Lazard's gone.
Yeah. Cobb's back if Rodgers is back.
I don't know if I think he's just gone.
You think so?
Yeah. Based on because I've heard the strong rumors have been he's still peeved that he didn't get an extension last offseason. And so there, and then I think he made some, there were some quotes from him. I think it was following the loss to the Lions where he was just not exactly thrilled with the team. So there's a greater than zero chance that he's gone. I mean, Chicago's just going to throw the bag at him because he's a former back.
Oh, you're talking about Lazard?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. No, I meant Cobb's going to be back if Rodgers is back. Yeah, but yeah, Rodgers Lazard, back, I think, is gone. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I was saying Lazard. Yeah. No, if Rodgers is back, Kyle will be back, but I think that wide receiver is a little easier to replace in free agency than the draft. And in that situation, I would probably go, I mean, there's going to be good wide receivers in the draft, but I think that it's easier to replace like your edge production in the draft. Cause there's some talented guys there versus in free agency. There's just not a ton of edge and D line help.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you. I'm pissed the Packers are out, obviously. I'm going to be until the end of the Super Bowl just because that's how I am. I'm a fully grown child. But I am excited.
Real quick, are you more mad that they went on a winning streak, had a chance to win it on primetime at home against a team that they've dominated at home over the last 30 years? And they didn't play Love and get him time and improve their draft pick as much as possible by losing possibly? I don't enjoy tanking. I'm not getting at that. I'm just saying that if you would, now you're picking 15th, 16th.
Yeah.
You're picking in the middle of the pack, which is what I said on the last week's episode. I was like, I want him to win now. I was like, you guys, your draft pick's no good anymore. Might as well just win as much as you can, I guess.
Yeah. I was happy that hindsight, I was more pissed. It was like they got that close and then messed it up. And then like another consequence of that, like you're saying, is now it's the middle of the pack draft pick that you have. Yeah. But like in the moment, I was thrilled. I was like, oh, this is great. Like we have a chance. We're getting hot at the right time. Like maybe we can make a run. But now that it's over, it's just a combination of everything. Like, wow, we really crapped the bed in prime time. Wow, we really messed up our draft picks. Man, I wish we played Jordan Love when Rodgers had a broken thumb and looked like Jared Goff on the Rams. Like it just, it just ended probably in the worst way possible. Just everything all at once.
I was like, because after the game, after they lost, I'm like, I'm mad at myself for getting my hopes up because I said that I was done with this team 2 months ago.
Yeah.
I said I was done. I said I was frustrated. I didn't want to watch the team anymore. I wanted to watch Jordan Love, see what we had in him, maybe build some trade value. Who knows?
Yeah. And I
and
think
then I got my hopes up.
Yeah. The way they lost was, I think, just a perfect symbolism of how the season was, of just like pure up and down roller coaster and being angry a lot. I don't know. It just, it ended, I think, in the most 22 Packers way it could have, just based on how the season went.
Yeah. It ended any better, really.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll go ahead and wrap it up. We want to keep everyone too long, especially in the off season. But we appreciate you guys listening and sticking with Pack a Day 365 days out of the year. We appreciate you guys. Continue to listen this off season if you want to, or take a break from our voices. Honestly, totally up to you. But Gage, if people want to follow you, all your other work that you do, where can they follow you up?
If you want to follow me, you can find me on Twitter at GBridgefordNFL. As always, all of my work, all of my links to all of my work with Rotoballer and Denver Stiffs are always over there. Still doing betting content for Rotoballer on Saturday mornings, and then still doing Denver Stiffs stuff 2-3 times a week. Mostly Fridays and then game previews and stuff earlier in the week.
Beautiful. Follow me on Twitter at Jimmy_C08. Also follow Lombardi's Bar on Twitter at Lombardi's Bar. We're taking a break for the off season, but every off season so far, we've done some random episodes with Packer players. We have some things lined up, bringing Kenny on this off season, Romeo Doubs on this off season, as well as Joe Thomas before he gets inducted into the Hall of Fame. So be sure to follow us there so you can get that, as well as we're doing some giveaways. So far, we're giving away a Preston Smith signed jersey, signed Quay Walker jersey, and a signed Keyshawn Nixon football. So follow us for a chance to win those things, and check us out when we do our interviews. But thank you for listening to Pack a Day. Follow Pack a Day on Twitter, all that stuff. If you're listening to this, I'm sure you do. But as always, it's going to be a long time before we see them again, but go Pack, go.